This episode of the podcast is brought to you by RankRide. Have you guys ever played fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, fantasy whatever? Well, now you can play fantasy bull riding. RankRide is the PBR's official fantasy sports app, guys. Go to rankridefantasy.com, sign up through the store, rankridestore.com, to get your membership for a chance to win big cash prizes and giveaways. Guys, RankRide is changing the way you interact with PBR bull riding. It is one of the most exciting endeavors I think we've ever seen. RankRideFantasy.com and RankRideStore.com to check it out.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradude.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we have got J.J. Hampton. J.J. is a 17-time WPRA champion. She is a real estate tycoon at this point in the Stephenville area. She is a very interesting, fun, outspoken person, as I'm sure a lot of people know. We had some fun having her stop by for a quick little episode, and check it out. So how many rodeos have you been to so far? 2020. Was it just the four you were telling me about earlier?
Oh, no. We rodeo every weekend. There might have been, what, the 3 weeks, 4 weeks that we didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And actually, my son, Kason, he had some rodeos during that time.
Rodeos?
Yeah, they bowed up and had junior rodeos. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He kept us busy and going during the slow times so we didn't go crazy.
Right. I mean, so I got a couple buddies who are in real estate, and that's one of the things I was real interested in hearing about from you. Is how crazy are you with the real estate right now with the way the market is? I mean, it seems to be way up.
Yeah, I'm really busy in Stephenville. It's a good place. I sell a lot of farm and ranch properties, and it's just an awesome environment in a town that people want to move to. Our prices don't go up astronomically or at a big rate. They just gradually go up, so people don't get in binds when they buy a property in Stephenville. I have a great staff, two licensed assistants who work for me. Carissa Chambers and Stephanie Chisholm, and they keep the ball rolling while I'm out rodeoing. I can do a lot of the work from any truck as long as I have an iPad or computer, so I'm good there. But the market's crazy, and we have been so busy and so blessed to be able to do that.
So do you only do it in Stephenville area?
I try to stay within an hour, but if I have somebody that wants me to really go help them, then I'll drive and do it. But I'm so busy there, it's hard for me to leave and go somewhere else. Yeah.
Everybody's lucky who moves to Stephenville. I wish I could live there. I live in the Keller Haslett area, so you got to add like a multiplier of four to whatever the property value is in that place.
Oh, yeah. Like you can't buy a house in town for what you can probably buy a house in 10 acres for in Stephenville.
No, not even close. Barely. You know, your property tax is more than the mortgage in Stephenville.
Oh.
Yeah, it's rough over there, right. Especially on horse property and things like that. But
sure.
It's interesting because with kind of the explosion of breakaway, and if 2020 wouldn't have panned out the way that it did, I think it'd be even bigger. But with the inclusion of breakaway in the American, WCRA, now the pro rodeos, I mean, you're one of the most notable breakaway ropers out there. You got 17 world championships under your belt.
Yes, I've been breakaway roping a long time, so it's very good to see the fruits of our labor, the people before us's labor, and to be able to set a pattern or precedent for the girls behind us so that they have a good opportunity to rope as well. It's very exciting times for us, and I'm 49 years old. I'm one of the oldest ones out there. Lady Guy's 10 days older than me, so she's older.
You had to get that one in?
Oh, you got to. But I have a few friends that are older than that, too, that rodeo, and so it's a blessing that I can still do it and still compete at a high level while this is happening, because I'm sure I'm enjoying it.
Right. Well, I mean, anytime something comes in and grows the sport, especially something, I mean, you would have think they could have added breakaway roping a long time ago. I mean, it's such a simple thing to include, but, you know, for whatever reason, there was just a long pause on doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning before that, I mean, was. It was getting to where we had 80, maybe 100 ropers at a lot of rodeos here in Texas. I mean, the rodeos in Texas have been good for a long time. But, I mean, all of a sudden, I think people saw the value, the dollar, and all the women doing it. And the platform just opened up for it. I guess I think it's money driven, but I'm sure glad they did it.
Well, I mean, absolutely. It opens up a lot of opportunities from some real well-known gals like yourself, Larry D. Guy, Jackie. I mean, it's fun to have another outlet for women other than barrel racing.
Yeah, so. And I think people are excited. They love barrel racing, but they also like to see another event that women do. It adds another element of excitement to the rodeo that they didn't have, and they all seem to really respond well to it.
I think so, yeah. I mean, got anything that's an addition is great. But, I mean, when did you get your start? I mean, if you've got 17 WPRA championships, I mean, you've been going for quite a while. When did you get your start and all that?
Well, I started, my dad, Johnny Wayne Hampton, wrote professionally, and his friends were Bill and Roy Duvall. And I was 4 years old, and my sister rode. She run barrels, and she was headed to a little rodeo in Granbury, Texas. And I kept bugging my dad and bugging my dad, you know, let me enter, let me enter. And I said, if you'll just let me enter, I'll beat the piss out of him. He let me enter. I didn't beat the piss out of him, but that started my career.
Did not. Yeah, that's how most of those stories go, right?
Yeah, that's all right, though. I mean, I conned them into it, and they let me try it, and that was it. I've been a competitor for a long time. I love to compete. I love to go, and that just started it for me.
Right, right. Yeah. So you started when – because I don't know a whole lot about your, you know, your early career. What was it that kept you kind of, when you went that first time, going so many times? Were you, I mean, does anybody have more than 17?
Yeah, Jackie has a few more than me now. And Wanda, yeah. Wanda Bush has some. But
yeah.
When I graduated from college, which was 1993, my goal was to be a lawyer. So I sold my horses, my truck, my trailer, and only applied to UT and to go to law school, and I didn't get in. I usually do really well on tests, and I sucked and failed that test, and I didn't get in law school. And so I got another horse, and I started rodeoing again. And 17 titles later, you know, God has a plan. So I told him, just because one door closes for you doesn't mean the right one's not going to open. So that's what happened to me, and I started rodeoing in 2000, or it was 1994. It was before that, but Marty Yates is his dad, Big Marty Yates, what we call him. He talked me into tying down. He was going to teach me how to tie down calves. And I got out there at the house and wrote one and tied them down. And, I mean, it about killed me. Like, to tie down roping's a lot harder than you think it is when you go.
Oh, I mean, when you start, I remember, being 13 years old, starting to tie down rope. And I played football, did all that stuff. It's a different kind of thing. Yes, just remember. And I grew up in Colorado. The weather's not bad.
Yeah, it's hot. At that time, I weighed probably 220. I've always been a hefty girl, and he taught me how to do it. And then he passed away in 1993, and I actually won the world in the Calf Open that first year that he passed away. So that was pretty damn special for me. But, Lord, that's a lot of work. And for a fat girl, it was even more, but he taught me a lot and taught me how to do it, and I won more world titles on the tie down than I did the breakaway roping.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you don't tie down anymore, right?
No. Yeah. I mean, people say something about, like, what I got to prove doing it. It's just not something I care to do.
Well, I mean, and all the eyes are on breakaway now, so it wouldn't really make sense to take away from breakaway roping to tie down probably for you
point. And usually when they're in there, might be 12, maybe 20 at the most at some of them jackpots, so yep. You don't win that much, and I'm good with it. I did my thing. I enjoyed it while I could. I'm really thankful for Marty teaching me, but I'm good.
Right. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I did want to go back about the law school thing. What was it that, you know, were you just so dead set on going to that one school that you really didn't want to try others? Or?
Yeah, I didn't really want to go anywhere else. I wanted to be, I think, I have a real close, tight-knit family, and we all live out there on the S-curves in Stephenville, and I just wanted to go to that one school. I thought I'm kind of a bulldog in whatever I do, and I would have been good at being a lawyer because I wouldn't have put up with crap, and there's a lot of fight in me, but that's the only school I applied to because I didn't want to go anywhere else. And when I did bad on that LSAT test, I didn't go, but I'm sure glad I didn't get in.
I mean, no kidding. I mean, you think if you would have got in that you probably wouldn't have rodeoed at all? I mean, you probably wouldn't have had time.
No, I would have been studying and doing all that stuff and not been able to rodeo. I wouldn't have rodeoed. I sold everything and went down there. And, I mean, my life would have been totally different. So I'm just forever thankful that I did not get in.
Right. No, I mean, absolutely. It's interesting because for you to – I mean, it takes certain people who can just drop one thing and immediately just say, forget that, I'm going to move on to something else. Most people get really fixated and get hung up on sticking with something like that. I mean, you did that with rodeo, but to give up on, I mean, it's just interesting because there's probably no way you could have thought that Breakaway was going to pan out the way it did. You just kind of threw caution to the wind and went for it, it sounds like. So
yeah, I mean, we used to rodeo and we'd be happy there was nine entered because it paid the most. So, I mean, we'd go to Louisiana for rodeos every weekend, me and Jamie Markham, and we went a lot. I mean, I've always gone and rodeoed. Didn't pay as good. Of course, it didn't cost as much then either. Now it costs a lot to do anything. So yeah. It's amazing how it's grown in all this time, and that I took a couple of years off in between there, but then I got back at it, and here we are again.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, isn't it crazy what a good breakaway horse costs nowadays?
Yeah, I'm helping some girls buy some, and it's crazy. You can $40,000-$50,000.
For a breakaway horse.
For a breakaway horse.
10 years ago, your breakaway horse was your horse for something else.
Yeah, everybody, if their Titan horse don't work out, to turn around and trying to sell them to a breakaway roper. But, I mean, there's a need for them. And now you can actually pay for them. I mean, as much as we go to jackpots, I think there was a 3 months at the end of the year, and I won like $75,000 at jackpots. I mean, alone, it's crazy to think that we can make that much money. You can actually make money breakaway roping.
Yeah. I mean, heck, there's a lot of people would be like, I can't make a dime rodeoing, period. I'm in 3 events, but you know, I mean, it's for the right people. You definitely can, but, with you, I mean, it was funny. You were kind of telling me about some of the funny stuff when you were going to Belle Fouche and all that, but do you just go with your family or do you travel with some of those gals?
Well, I travel with a few gals now because Kaysen started roping before he started roping, which has not even 2 years, a little over a year and a half. They went with me. We went everywhere together.
Yeah.
And so now we're trying to do it where I can make a few and still go to Kaysen's too, because I don't want to miss his rodeos and I want to be there with him. But I go with Larry D and Hope if they can't go with me.
Right. You were telling me kind of about the Uber driver thing. Can you tell me that on air? Because I think everybody would get a kick out of that.
Well, so we flew in. And we're headed to a rodeo.
Pull the microphone down a little bit.
Okay.
Starting to drift.
Yeah, we were headed to Buffalo, Texas, and we were in a hurry. Like, the lady, McKenna, had her horses. She was down the road. We were going to catch an Uber. We taxied for 30 minutes, and the Uber lady was not there yet. And when Hope got her on the phone, I said, Hope, you need to call another effing Uber. You need to call one now because she ain't got it. She ain't getting it. You know, move on. And she didn't. So we get in the car. I said, come on, lady, haul ass. We need to haul ass. And she just kind of didn't really, I don't know if she understood what I was saying, but she didn't answer me. And I look over, I'm sitting behind kind of catty corner from her. And I look over and it says low fuel. I said, Hope, we're out of gas. We have no gas. I said, no, we don't. I said, no gas. And then I look and there, my tire, the back right, is low air. So we get to driving probably 10, 15 miles down the road, and we're not hauling ass. And all of a sudden, it blows and starts going crazy. So the lady pulls over on the far right. We're in the far right lane. She pulls all the way over to the left lane. And I said, F lady, you're going to kill us. So we get to laughing. Hope gets her camera out and videos all this. And people wouldn't believe us if she had not videoed this story, because it was pretty priceless. And we pretty much left the lady on the side of the road. I told her, call 911. We got to go, and off we went. But it was a pretty colorful story and never a dull moment when we were going rodeoing. I mean, it isn't. It's crazy.
It is, too. Yeah, if anybody who rodeos, the amount of BS you have to go through on a daily basis because you just spend so much time on the road that, yeah, I mean, the stories add up pretty quick.
Oh, they do. It's amazing, and we should all probably write books, because some of it's unbelievable. Like, it should never happen.
Right. You know what? They probably should. I mean, if you think of notable books that have to do with rodeo, I mean, the only one that I've ever read is Fred's book. Other than that, I can't think of another one I've ever read myself.
No, and it is real out there, and it's crazy, and it's very hard at times. It's humbling. It's you can be high as a kite because you're doing good, but it ain't all easy. People think going down the road's this lovely hunky-dory life, and it's easy on you. Well, it's grueling. I mean, and most people probably don't say it is, because we're used to it, and you kind of get used to all the stuff that goes on, but it's hard on you. I mean, the miles in the truck, like, I'm getting old. My knee starts hurting now when I ride in the truck for too long, and it sucks because you get out and you're stiff, and but you just find a way to suck it up, because we all love to rope. We love to compete.
Right. I mean, it's funny, because I think that's the thing what really drives people, because I know myself, I hate driving. I hate going in the pickup for 12 hours, 14 hours, and doing that 6 times in a week. I mean, it'll kill you. If your heart's not all the way in it, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, no, so. You shouldn't. And I pay extra. I mean, when we go on those trips, we had a driver that went both places with us, so we didn't have to drive that much. But I pay extra if I have to because I don't drive at all. Right. Ricky spoils me and drives. So, and usually I'm on the phone selling real estate, so I'm occupied, and they don't want me behind the wheel because I've got stuff to do. But I don't drive. I might back a rig out of a parking lot or turn out of the parking lot of the arena, and I'm like, I'm done. That's it for me.
That's too funny. Now, one thing I wanted to circle back to, because something that interests me, and we were talking about this a little earlier, is people who rodeo transitioning to other things to make sure that their whole life's successful and that they're not just relying on rodeo, which you're someone who's done that. So you speaking up on kind of your method, how you did that, and kind of maybe inspiring some people to do that, because that's one thing that will break just about anybody's hearts, a cowboy not being able to rodeo anymore and not finding a good way to transition into a, you know, a financially stable life. I mean, it's unfortunately way too common. And for me personally, it's something I would love to help prevent. And you've done that. And so tell me about JJ Hampton Real Estate and when you started that. And
well, I started working for my mom, Barbara Hampton, first. My sister was in the business with her, and I didn't want to get in the business with her because you know how family stuff is, and it's...
Don't I know.
Yeah, it's difficult, but she talked me into it and got me going, and she is very honest, very good at what she does, and she taught me how to be successful at it. And if you want to hustle and work hard and you can talk to people, then real estate's for you. I'm a paper pusher, and it just fit my personality being able to go and show people and do all this. And I learned a lot from her to be successful in real estate. And it's not easy. It takes a while to build up your business. If you think you're going to be successful overnight, you're wrong. It's just like rodeo. I mean, you got to put the time in, and I put the time in. And then it's been about 3 years ago, I opened my own business, JJ Hampton Realty, and it's going really well for us. We manage properties. Ricky handles all the repairs for us and makes sure that gets done. It's a family business, and my two assistants. I have a couple agents under me that have started selling and helping me make money, but it's mainly me at the office that sells and stuff.
Wait, so how long were you with your family then doing it?
17 years.
Oh, you did it with them for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, what made you break away from them?
More family stuff. It was time. Sometimes you got to know, you got to spread your wings and fly. And it was time for me to do that. Right. I'd been kind of putting it off. But my mom, she's older, but she didn't want to give up her business. And I can't blame her for that because she still does well at it. But I wanted to spread my wings, see if I could fly. It was time.
Right. No, I get it. And I mean, obviously, I think real estate's probably the highest turnover job out there, isn't it? I mean, more people flop on real estate than they do anything else.
Yeah, because you're working 30 to 45 days down the road. You don't have a steady paycheck. And if you don't get off your butt and go sell something, you're not going to make any money. So you have to be very self-motivated, driven to be able to function in real estate.
Right. Well, I mean, what better parallel than with rodeo, right?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, if I go to rodeo and I don't do good or something happens, then I get in the car and I sell a house, I sell a place. And people, my traveling partners usually laugh at me because at 11 o'clock at night, I'll be negotiating contracts or whatever it is. But that's kind of how I handle it. And if I don't do good at that, by God, I'm selling a house.
Right. So you kind of get that little dopamine kick off something else when you fail.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You think
yeah.
That's what keeps you feeling a lot more positive towards rodeo? I mean, because if you're only rodeoing and shit goes bad day after day, week after week, I mean, it gets real tough to keep going.
Well, I do use that just to get my mind off it, but I'm pretty good at forgetting my run. I'm kind of a blaster, but I do the same thing every time, and I take chances when I rope. I have for a long time, and I don't worry about it. If I miss, I'm ready to get in the box, kick ass the next time, and that's how I do it. I've always been that way, and I mean, every once in a while I'll get down, yes, but most of the time I just let it go. I mean, you aren't going to help yourself by beating yourself up or being mean about it. I get more driven, like I'm going to kick ass next time, and that's how I handle getting, you know, missing or not winning.
Right, yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, it's interesting when you hear kind of people talk about how they got their starts, how they did certain things, transitions in the business. I mean, if you're looking at young people, because I think that's one responsibility that anybody who's been going at it for a long time kind of has, is to motivate and mentor young people. I mean, how do you, using what you've you know, because you kind of give the Cliff Notes version, but I mean, you've been, I mean, you just said you were in real estate for 17 years. You've been rodeoing for way more than that. And so you've seen the highs, the lows, you've seen the growth of your particular event. I mean, for you, because I got to just think that you probably get your door beat down more with people wanting advice on how to do things and coaching and things than you do probably selling houses even.
Well, I do help a lot of kids. Usually at least one, maybe two a night come over to rope. I don't break down the basics of roping with them. I do help them, but I am a motivator. I'm very positive. When kids come over to my house, they leave thinking they can rope or knowing they can rope because that's what I teach them. It's a lot. I mean, our attitude is everything. And if you don't believe in yourself, I tell them who the hell's gonna. So you got to believe, and we practice at my house to be positive. We don't break the barrier. We don't do negative things at my house, even if it happens, because that's not what we're here for. I try to spend a positive light on people when they're roping, because usually they come over for a reason. They're having hell. Yeah. They're not doing good. And so I try to turn that around for them and show them a good way, a good perspective, and give them some tips that help them do better. But most of the time when people leave my house, they're catching, and they got a smile on their face. And that's what I get them over there for.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. It's funny because it's real easy to quit at rodeo. I mean, I did it. You know, I'll own that. I was like, forget this. I'm going to go see if I can find a way to not starve to death.
Right.
But, you know, because, I mean, that's how it is for a lot of people. But when you're talking about kind of inspiring the youth, especially in a growing event like Breakaway, I mean, what do you think is the most important piece of it? I mean, let's say you're a gal and maybe you don't have the finances to get a good horse. You know, maybe you don't have the connections to get somebody to loan you a horse. Maybe you don't have the connections to find hauling partners. I mean, how do you think somebody gets their start? Because I think that's probably the most daunting task. And it's not just Breakaway, right? I mean, it's anything in rodeo. But I mean, how do you help someone in that situation? Because that's, you know, that's a little different.
Well, I tell people if there's a will, there's a way. And if you want somebody, you can get it. But at some point, you got to have some help. Somebody has to, you got to run into the right person. You got to pay attention to doors being open. And you got to put yourself around positive people. And at that point, if you don't have a horse, you don't have nothing but a will, you got to pray. Because you're going to need some divine intervention here to get this going. Because we know it's not easy. You know?
Absolutely.
I know. I just tell you got to meet people. And it's hard to... I mean, I just think you got to be lucky, too. I know it's hard to teach somebody that, but if they want it, then I'll help them try to find a horse or do whatever they need to get going. But that's a tough question you're just asking me right there.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to tell somebody where to get started. I mean, you just got to meet people until you find somebody who can help you, because if you don't have help, you know, I was lucky. My family helped me. Even when we went dead, you know, we went broke in the dairy business, and I didn't know it, but my family found a way that we got to go rodeo and pay entry fees and ride whatever horses we had to make it work.
Right. That's interesting. So, I mean, when, so your family had a dairy, and did they lose the whole dairy? Is that what happened?
No, I was in fifth grade, so it was a long time ago, and we did the buyout program, because anybody knows, if you know the agricultural business, it's up and down and up and down, and my family just had enough. And, my mom never let us know that we were that poor, because we got to rodeo. She figured out a way to make it happen for us. She would go, she sold insurance, and then she got in the real estate business. And when she got in the real estate business, that's when we got back to doing good. I had some, my grandparents were really good to us and helped us. My papa was an amazing man, and my Mimi, but we were poor. I didn't know it till years later that we didn't have any money, because my mom...
So they hid it from you completely.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know we were barely getting to eat. And I mean, every bit they scraped up to pay entry fees is what they did so we could go. But I found out, and I thought, you know, if there is a will, I mean, my mom found the way to get us to rodeos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, she sounds pretty inspirational, because not a lot of people would do that. I mean, it's too hard.
I saw a work ethic in my mom, and that's where I got it from, because I'm a worker, I'm a hustler, I'm bullheaded, and I got that from my mom, because my mom showed me that you can do anything you want to do if you set your mind to it. You just got to work.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, that's probably the most important principle in anything, though. I mean, as somebody who rodeos, started a business, I mean, you show up every day, at some point something's gonna click, or just by pure swings at the bat. Right. I mean, that's probably, I mean, maybe that's the answer to that question that I asked you earlier, is just put yourself in situations where you got swings at the bat.
That's it. I had a man that helped us. I mean, well, he loaned us. If we wanted a rent house, he would always loan us the money. And the man told me, you're going to do all right, JJ. And I said, yeah. He said, because the harder you work, the luckier you get. And that's words to live by. And I have a little sign in my office that said it, because it's true. The harder you work, the luckier you do get. So if you're willing to work hard, some luck will come your way.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, it's hard for kids nowadays, though, because with all the influences they've got, it seems like a lot of kids, and rodeo kids are a little different because, I mean, anybody who grew up on a ranch or a farm, you get your ass up and you feed, you take care of your horses. I mean, you have to. But your average kid, I mean, they have a lot of influences on them that kind of make them more reclusive and don't allow them to put themselves out there.
Right. And you have to. I mean, I tell people who come to my house to rope or whatever, you have to take chances. And if you're not scared, if you can't be scared to take a chance, and you can't be scared if you miss. You have to go for it. Because we're in a day and age, there are a lot of badass breakaway ropers, young, old, everywhere. And if you don't take a chance of trying to win, you're not going to. So I'm one of these people, I say throw it, because if it works, you're going to win. If it doesn't, what'd you lose? Because if you go down the arena and catch, what are you going to do, pat yourself on the back? Way to go, you caught? I mean, that's not me. I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
I mean, I just soon take a chance. I always tell people, take a chance. Columbus did.
Have you guys ever played fantasy football? Fantasy baseball? Fantasy basketball? Fantasy whatever? Well, now you can play fantasy bull riding. RankRide is the PBR's official fantasy sports app, guys. Go to RankRideFantasy.com. Sign up through the store, RankRideStore.com, to get your membership for a chance to win big cash prizes and giveaways. Guys, RankRide is changing the way you interact with PBR bull riding. It is one of the most exciting endeavors I think we've ever seen. RankRideFantasy.com and RankRideStore.com to check it out.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about Columbus, but I guess you advise me we shouldn't get into that.
Well, I'm not a fan of wrecking history, or I don't know. It's all to me crazy. It's a perspective, and it's not my perspective. So,
yeah, I mean, isn't it interesting though? Like when you think about it, it doesn't even matter your perspective. The fact that history they don't want to tell it. You know, I mean, it doesn't even matter if you're left, right, or center. You should want to hear the history the way it was, you know, or at least the way it was recorded. I think it's kind of weird how they want to doctor up history and change it to kind of fit a narrative. And it doesn't matter which narrative it is, just in general.
Right. It is what it is. I mean, yeah. It's history. Whether you like it or you don't, it's still your history, and you should respect it.
Yeah.
I think it's a respect thing. And there's a lot of people that need more of it.
You know, it's funny because I always talk about growing up on ranches or horse farms or what have you, and it kind of creates a different kind of person to where you got to respect. It just, you're kind of raising a yes sir, yes ma'am culture that, you know, a lot of people around the country, really, they just aren't teaching their kids that. And it's one of those interesting things that's kind of transcended modern time, is that the farm and ranch community, they raise their kids the same way that they did 40 years ago.
Sure.
Might have an iPhone in their pocket. They might have earbuds in when they're feeding, but it's still the same thing.
Oh, yeah. You learn manners. You learn how to treat people. You learn how to treat animals. You learn how to respect them, respect yourself, and be appreciative of other people and things. And I don't know. It is a different place that we're in, but I think respect is a huge thing. It's a huge thing to me, and I like to show respect to people, and if you earn it, I mean, you get it, but after that, you're done.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you're a salesman. You're in real estate. The first thing that you do in any type of sales job is learn how to talk to people and show people respect, because if you don't, they'll go to the next guy.
Well, exactly, so, yeah.
So, and if you carve out a niche in any kind of sales market, I mean, that's sales 101, really is.
Sure. I always like a good challenge, and if something goes wrong with our deals or whatever, I'm usually the one that handles. I mean, I do, because I'll find a way to solve any problem, and I don't usually take no for an answer. So right. I'll keep trying and digging till I get it done.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. You know, and one thing that I was told about you, kind of jumping around, is that you do give back a lot, and you do a lot of things, you know, that maybe you don't have to do, but you do give back a lot to the community. I mean, what is some of the things that you do, and why do you do it?
Well, the big thing we do is Backpack Buddies of Erath County. It's an organization that provides food for kids on the weekend that have no money. we started that mainly because my son, Kason, he heard us talking about kids who did not have food. And he said, well, Mom, can you feed them all? And I said, no, but we can start by donating money. How much of your money do you want to donate? So he donated money, and then we started a Facebook campaign. And I think he's raised, I don't know, I think it's close to $30,000 so far. It's been,
wow.
Yeah, he's raised a lot of money for him. We have a bake sale at my dad, the Johnny Wayne Hinton Memorial, and he usually makes $3,000 to $4,000 every year to donate to him at that. Marty Yates and him team up during the finals and make T-shirts, and we sell those T-shirts, and all the profits go to Backpack Buddies of Erath County. And it's become so known that anybody, a friend of ours, Jeff Heath passed away, and his family, instead of flowers, asked if they would donate to Backpack Buddies in case in his in memory and for Kason. And so they sent us checks, and it's pretty cool that just because Kason has given back to his fellow kids, that people will open their hearts and their wallets and help with that. We also give scholarships to through my dad and then my brother Roe Hampton. We give memorial scholarships to Tarleton students and other rodeo students as well that we see could use some help with school. We want to help people. Not that I mean, some people need more help than others, but we really try to pick out. We don't ask for applications. We just hand choose who we want to give the money to, but we give money to help further people's education and help them get to school. So that's something that we really enjoy because we're doing it for my family's name. And you have to give back. I think I've been blessed with the real estate and with the rodeo, and I know people gave to me at times, and I sure want to give back to them.
It makes a lot of sense, yeah, because, I mean, not everybody does that. So when you have the opportunity to give back, and you do, I mean, it really shows, and I think that's why a lot of people probably respect you and you guys and what you do. But so how long has the back, you said multiple years, how long has that been going on?
He's been doing it for 3 years, I believe. 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
And as far as the donations, they go to people in that county, or do they go...
It's the whole county. So every kid in a school from kindergarten or preschool up to high school, what they do on Friday is they go drop these sacks off or the backpacks off for the kids to go by and pick them up so that they eat on the weekend. So $5 feeds a kid for the weekend. So Kason has fed a lot of kids through his efforts. And to say that I'm proud of him is probably an understatement, but the best thing is when we have the rope and he'll get up and talk and get on the mic and talk in front of everybody. And he did a Albert Einstein quote that Ricky and I never heard him say. Like, I think everybody at the rope's mouth dropped because we were like, you know, like, he can articulate. He does not mind getting up and talking to people. And to me, it's a good quality to have, that you're not scared to get up and talk to people. And he can talk to adults. And it pulled at all their heartstrings, and everybody started donating more money. And it was all because of him.
That's pretty good way to start out. How old is he?
11.
All right, so he's probably got a pretty bright future. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could do radio. He has a gift of being in front of people and talking, and it's pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And to have the right mindset to do selfless things at that early age, I mean, you guys obviously did something right with the way you raised them, which speaks to what we were saying earlier about how, you know, farm and ranch people raise their kids right.
Well, yeah, and you need to help others. If somebody needs help, then you pull over and help them, because that's what you would want done to you. I mean, that's kind of how we are, I think, as people who grew up on ranches and horses, and it's important to take the time to give to people.
I think so, yeah, and it's just, it's so rare now almost, it seems like. You know, maybe it's not, right? Maybe more people do it than you think, but it's portrayed as being a rarity.
Yeah, it is. I think it depends on where you're at, but it's always nice to help people, even if it's something small, but it's good. I like to be helped. It's a cool thing, but also in turn, I really enjoy helping other people when they need it.
Right, right. I mean, absolutely. And it's probably the most important thing in life is how you treat people. And so it seems like you guys have a good grasp on that with, you know, you're raising your kid and what have you. But, you know, back to Breakaway, I got to wonder with it getting so exciting. I mean, how shocked were you at the way that the year turned out with it? I mean, cause I know I've told people, and probably like 20 times on podcasts, like I would not have thought 2020 would have went this way, like in January, right after Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange, and a time that you're very appreciative of the rodeos that they have for you, the events that put them on. But I'm telling you, here in the next month, we're having Breakaway open after Breakaway open. Like, we're going to have to pick and choose where we go. It's almost – it's crazy what now they're doing and having them. So it is a strange year, and you're going to less. It just, I don't, you know, I try to keep focused on rodeoing and roping and doing what we do, and I haven't changed much about me because that's what I do. I know this is out there, and I want people to be safe, but life goes on, and we got to keep living.
Yeah, I mean, before there's not much left to live for. I mean, it gets kind of, it gets pretty scary, especially if you own a business. You know, March through gosh, May. I mean, it was a scary time. So lots of people lost theirs. So I'm
I
hope they can get it back.
Me too. Business closing down or because you're ordered to shut your doors and now they're shutting them for good. And that was, I mean, their family's life. I mean, it lifeline. They've owned them forever. And it's a sad time that we can't, as people go and give them, I mean, help them with money by supporting them and going to their business because they have to close.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like you can't even help them with, you know, commerce. You can't even do it.
So. Exactly.
Well, you know, it's, I know you guys got a rope tonight, so we better let you get on, but I think it's pretty interesting to have people like you come on the show, kind of talk about your beginning, because everybody has that kind of a unique thing about them. You know, for you, I mean, it's you've been breakaway roping for a long time. You started a super successful business. I mean, everybody in the Stephenville area knows you. You know, everybody knows you for your breakaway roping, and it's, I mean, you're starting to get known for helping people and doing things like that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing about you guys that I think is important. You know, it doesn't matter how good your rope or how successful your business is. If you're only self-serving, I mean, who cares, right?
No, so. You got to be there for others. But I got a funny story I want to share with you because it's good. So I was about maybe 5-6 years old, and we had gone to a rodeo. And a rodeo friend of ours, his dad, my sister had actually done good at the rodeo and I sucked. So I did bad. So my mom was trying to be nice and say, okay, well, if the girls win any prizes, would you pick them up? And I cocked my old hat on the back of my head and I said, Ladoit, if I win any ribbons, you can take them and wipe your ass with them because I don't want them. My mom picked me up by my ear and carried me to the truck. But to that day, that man says, JJ, you want any ribbons lately? And he has been my friend to the end. But I have always been, I grew up with my granddad feeding cows, and I've always had a colorful mouth. And some of the things that I've done is quite entertaining. But that was probably one of the best stories that.
I could see you doing some entertaining stuff with the way your personality works.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So my mom wanted to kill me for that, though. She took me to, I was like, what? She goes, you don't talk to people like that. But anyways, I didn't want no damn ribbon.
Yeah, who wants a ribbon, especially when you can win money?
Oh, yeah, I didn't want a ribbon.
Do they even give ribbons anymore at the junior rodeos? Probably little britches, right?
I would have to laugh if they gave ribbons again, but I haven't seen any. I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe like a Gymkhana or some of those 4-H rodeos they do. They probably give ribbons.
Yeah, they didn't want people to tell them to wipe their ass with them, probably.
I mean, probably wouldn't feel that good.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that'd be a Charmin commercial.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. I can pull it off, probably.
Wait, the ribbon wipe?
No, I'm not doing it. I'm just saying the Charmin commercial. I could do that, but yeah, it's all good.
I don't know about you, but I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do see those Charmin commercials, they make me uncomfortable for some reason.
Yeah, they're a little weird.
They're real weird. They get too excited about talking about doing business with toilet paper.
Yeah.
I guess if that's what you're into.
Yeah, they got to sell it to somebody.
They do. I guess you don't have to talk about houses like that, though, huh?
No, I do not.
Yeah. But if you did, you probably wouldn't own a real estate company.
No, I would not.
Or maybe a plumber.
Maybe.
I don't think you'd be a good plumber.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It would be bad. My business suits me, so I'll just stick with it for now.
I think it does suit you. I think you're right. Well, I wish you all the best, and I think you got some fun stuff going on. And don't know your kid, but he sounds pretty interesting, and I sure hope him the best, too.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yes,
yeah, he's pretty cool.
Absolutely. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content by Cassie Emerson. Our theme song is by Shay Ashshire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time.